Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Hello, geekologists! This is Systematic Geekology. We are the priest of the geek, and we are here for a very special episode today. This is our super drastic episode, where we did a sort of prequel to this about a month ago, where this is a big blockbuster movie summer for everyone, with the release of three major blockbusters. Obviously, if you couldn't guess from the title, it was Jurassic World, Rebirth, Superman, and Fantastic Four, First Steps. So we did an episode about a month ago where we talked about sort of our excitement level going into these movies, which ones we were most excited for. And now they've all been out. We're going to talk about them, and we're going to do some fun questions around these movies. So I'm very excited. So we have a full panel today that I'm really excited for. I am Kevin Schaefer, and with me, I want to go around the room here, and if everyone could give me one word of how you're feeling today. So, Evan Garcia, we will start with you. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling super catafragilistic expialidocious.
Excellent. I love it. And Andy Walsh, who also has the best sub name in title here. But Andy, how are you today?
I'm Dandy, thanks.
Andy, I love it.
Dandy.
And Will Rose, what is your word here?
Man, today? Evan took mine, so I'm just going to say superb. No, that was really good. I didn't think about doing that, but nice job. I'm superb. That's how I'm feeling.
Sue Stormperb.
Very cool. I love it. And Christian Ashley, what is your word of description today?
I'm feeling TJ-less because I was hoping he'd be here.
I know.
Yeah, all this is an honor of TJ's because, you know, he's so good at doing those good. And you know, but we're living in the spirit of TJ right now.
We
so,
have a lot to look
forward. I would have loved to hear what his answer to this prompt would have been. I
speak up multiple words just to be.
Oh, yeah. Plot twist.
Yeah. I will say I'm feeling punk rock today. A little setup for this episode. So, thanks guys for being here. We are very excited for this one. So we're gonna get into each of these movies before we get started. Thank you all for being here. Please, if you are on a laptop or you're watching on mobile, please like, rate, and review the show. This is on YouTube right now, and the promise still holds. We say it every time, but if we get 50 likes on an episode on YouTube, Will Rose, what are you going to do this time if we get 50 likes?
I will film myself being chased by a dinosaur going down a river in an inner tube.
Okay, that's very specific. I love it. But yeah. So if you want to see that, all you have to do is hit the like button on YouTube. And again, whatever you listen to your podcast on, please like, rate, or review on there. You can also support us on Patreon. We got some cool merch too on our site, so just look us up. We love your support. And yeah, so we're just going to get into it today with, because we've got a lot to cover with this topic. So again, if you have not seen the previous episode, if you wanted to kind of get at what our thoughts were going into these movies, you can go check that one out. So now we're going to be talking about each of these movies extensively. And we're not going to reveal rankings just yet, but let's start just kind of going around the room. And if we had to describe the main plot of these movies in one sentence, what would be, I could start with Superman. So my I had a log line here is an extraterrestrial encounters the best and worst of humanity, but chooses to fight for them while also risking his life dog sitting. That is my little pitch for
well done. 2025. Where's that applause sound effect? Where's that applause sound effect?
Where is it?
Oh, that is
So that is my first Superman. Will, we'll start. What's your first Superman? What's your little log line
right there? An alien comes to Earth to help out, but a billionaire is really jealous. So jealous, he doesn't care if the Earth gets sucked into a pocket universe.
That's fair. I love it. Christian, what about you?
The S stands for hope in a far better movie.
The S.
Shots fired.
Wow. All right.
Hey.
It took me a second. I was like, what do you mean by that? Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll find out.
All right.
Andy, what about you?
Sure. Four superheroes, a brilliant scientist, a hotshot flyer, a man whose body has been transformed into inorganic material, and a woman work to unite the world and keep the Earth from being swallowed up.
I love it. That's very accurate there. I love it. Evan, what about you?
Similar to Will, there's an alien that pisses off a billionaire, saves the world because of the said billionaire, and his dog is really cool, and he's got cool friends.
Yep. I love it. Oh yeah, Crypto. I think it's hard to describe this movie without Crypto in there because he plays such a pivotal role. Yeah. But awesome. So that is our plot for Superman. Now let's move to Fantastic Four. For this one, I said renowned scientists pick a bad time to become parents.
That's good.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've said, like, there's these, like, the challenge of describe a film plot badly, I have a lot of fun with those. So
it's good.
That's good.
Yeah. So, Will, what about you?
A family of four and a baby save the world from the space kaiju without child sacrifice.
Good. I love it. Christian, what about you?
Hey, remember that post-credit scenes and Thunderbolt / New Avengers? Well, that doesn't really get followed up on yet, but it will if you watch Avengers too.
Yeah, pretty much. Gotta set up the next movie. Andy, what's your Fantastic Four pitch here?
A diner orders off the menu and is forced out.
Yes. That is I hope Kevin Feige is listening to this. I think we're marketing executives here.
Exactly.
And Evan, what's yours?
Your kid's not special, but their kid is. And that's pretty much all I got.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's pretty good. I love it. Awesome. I really wish, I can only imagine what TJ's would be here. We were like, TJ's having car troubles at the moment, but I almost want to get him, like, in a bonus here just to go through these questions with him.
He would probably say, like, oh, yes, something like car seat.
That would be good. Yeah, he would. Yeah, I love it. Very cool. Okay, and then, yeah, so sorry, guys, but Jurassic World Rebirth is the only one I did not see, so I'm gonna guess there are dinosaurs in it, but I'm going to leave you guys to describe.
That's a good plot device. Just from the trailer, there are dinosaurs in it. There you go.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Andy, I know you're a big Jurassic Park fan, so we'll start with you here.
A familial quartet explores unfamiliar territory and is nearly eaten by an ancient behemoth.
Good. Okay. I love it. Some of these might make me really want to see it now. I love this. Yeah. Will, what about you?
Okay. People are bored with dinosaurs, and we're going to show you why you shouldn't be bored with dinosaurs.
Fair. I like it. Christian, what about you?
You idiots keep buying tickets to these, so we're going to keep making them because we put dinosaurs in them. And also, I had fun.
I got some good pitches here. There's a log line here. But Evan, what about you?
It doesn't look like a Jurassic Park movie, but it is.
Fair enough. What does it look like? We'll get more
into it. It's not so heavy on the meta-ness. Like everything doesn't mean something. It's just a fun, clickbaity, scary dinosaurs. People die. Boo. I'm sure someone's going to make some meaning out of it, but I liked how simple it was.
I like it. Awesome. Well, that is the plot elements of these three movies.
Hey, podcast fam, want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
So now we're going to get a little bit into what we think was the message that we took away from each of these movies. So I can start with Superman. It's going to be cliche to just say kindness is pop rock, but that is like the best tagline for this movie. But I would also add to that that the message is about no matter where you come from, you have a choice to be the best you could be. You have a choice to be good, and that choice is up to you. And and so that's kind of what the essential message for me for Superman. But Will, what was your kind of main message you took away from Superman?
Yeah. So I you know, similar stuff there, but for me, sometimes being nice and kind wins, and don't be suckered by an egotistical billionaire. Dogs rule, and Superman listens to Christian punk rock. Like POD.
Oh, yes. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. That's the message. So I had to throw crypto in there, because even if a dog doesn't have boundaries, his dog still rule. Dog still rule.
I mean, no. Have you seen that, like, just a side point to that, that dog adoptions have gone up since Superman?
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Like, I mean, that is beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. I love it. Let's see. Evan, what about you?
Well, great that you put me behind Will, because I'm going to kick back and say that I'm sorry, because the Christians, we try to co-op something again, because it wasn't POD. It was a James Gunn old band from a college called the PODs. And just
See,
I was like, oops.
Those Christians always co-opt them. Yeah.
I was like, oh no. And then there's a dog. and a big part of it is that sometimes billionaires do get arrested.
Sometimes
it was nice to see it happen here. But I agree. Christian, what about you?
If you want people to act heroic, be the superhero you want them to be.
Amen. Mm.
Definitely. Perfect. God. Andy, what about you?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That
was good.
I love it. That's awesome. Sweet. Well, I think, and we'll get into more, I think, of these themes, but let's do Fantastic Four next, and then we'll kind of go, and then we're going to do a broader discussion as well. But Fantastic Four, I was thinking about this too. I mean, obviously, family is a central component, but, you know, I guess that was because maybe this has to do with my thoughts on the movie. I don't think the themes are as strong here, so. But I would just say that family is important, be that. And that's not just blood here, because obviously, like, Ben Grimm is not blood relative, but that whether it's your chosen or your biological family, support each other and do good as much as you can with the ones you love. But Will, what about you? I'm curious what your thoughts are for this.
Okay. All right. I got it. Cosmic surfing is rad. And yes, a mom's love and passion can body slam a space giant. And why don't we have flying cars yet? Why?
Andy? That
Why? Andy, help me. Help me, Andy.
If this was in the 60s, come on.
No, come on. We're 60 years later.
FTL. Right. I want some FTL too.
Andy, what's your kind of main theme message from Fantastic Four?
The needs of the many are the needs of the few.
Mm. Ooh, coming at you.
Dropping some knowledge here, Andy. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Evan, what's yours?
This is for Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. It's going to be more like in the sense of we all play a part in our family, but sometimes we do overstep each other, and we need to learn to do a give and take.
I like that.
Give and take.
So that's the message for Reed Richards.
yeah, but then you could kind of apply it to to some of the other ones too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Awesome. Christian, what about you?
If you have a press secretary working for your fantastical family, maybe you should let them speak first before you announce to the world that you doomed it.
I don't know.
That's the guy I was saying. They need some PR there. I
Her
agree.
Face when he said that. Like, what?
That was it. Oh, I love it. I love it. Awesome. And now Jurassic World. So again, I do not have messenger on this one. So I'm going to leave it to you guys for this one. Andy, you've been dropping some great liners here for theme. So I'm curious what yours is for this one.
In late stage capitalism, it's everyone for themselves.
I was thinking something like that too. Yeah.
I love it. Will, what about you?
I hate it when a dinosaur causes a traffic jam, and don't let Big Pharma experiment on dinosaurs. And if your leg gets hurt, don't worry, it may be healed in the next scene.
Ta-da.
I love it. I love it. And Evan?
Greed kills, but sometimes it doesn't.
That's right. And then Christian, going to round us out here.
Does anyone remember the first season of Iron Fist where he makes the company, you know, put that drug out at cost?
Forget about that.
Imagine that happened at the end of the film for something that was a lot better.
Ew.
And then thinking that was a smart decision.
Oh.
Okay.
I didn't think about that.
Christian, I love how you're making a lot of references to other movies and franchises that came before here as a tie, like for both plot and themes here, but I love it. Awesome. Awesome. Well, and we'll get into kind of the main discussion of our rankings of these movies and building on what we said about the plot and the themes, kind of like maybe a little bit about why we did. So let's just go around the room. I can start. I think it's, I mean, there's comes to the surprise to no one out of the two I saw. I think people who listen to the show know how much I love Superman. Is it a perfect movie? No, it certainly, I'm going to say it has flaws, but as far as the emotional impact it had on me, I thought the storytelling was really solid, and it had the idea of it being in a lived-in universe and it really bringing to life characters that I loved. But not just that, I just thought it was, again, a good movie. It had really strong thematic material, and it reminded the world why Superman is so cool and why he is the first, one of the longest-running superheroes, and why he still has a massive cultural impact. And it for years, Hollywood had been saying, like, oh, Superman's not relevant anymore. I don't know how we can make a good Superman movie. And this defied all of that and said, no, he is not only timeless, but he's fully relevant. And the message of kindness is cool. Kindness is punk rock. That is needed now more than ever. And so, well, I mean, you know, I can still nitpick some of the aspects of it. But as far as one of the most joyful comic book movie experiences I've had in a while, this is high up there. So easily my number one. And then Fantastic Four, we talked about on our review last week, there were things about it I really loved, like the production design, the casting, also that it embraces its source material, much like Superman, and it's not ashamed to be a comic book movie. It has all of those elements. I just think it could have been much stronger in terms of execution and in terms of writing and in terms of particularly, again, like while the visual elements were really cool, I think the camera work and the editing were rushed, and, you know, there could have been a stronger delivery on some of the thematic material, but it still is highly entertaining. I get why people love it. It just, for me, is not as high as Superman and Thunderbolts were for me on the comic movie realm this year. So that's easy in my ranking. And again, I no diss to Jurassic Park fans. I'm just not, it's just not a franchise I'm invested in, really. So I have not seen Rebirth yet. I may catch it on streaming when it comes out. But that was my only exclusion from the big blockbuster.
And so the big plot twist, sorry, my light just went out. The big plot twist is that you're going to see Jurassic Park and you're like, it's my favorite one of all three. I need to go back and reviews and do all this.
That would be kind of hilarious. That would be something, but yeah, who knows though. If it comes in, if I see it eventually, then I will report back. But yeah. Will, what about you? So what's your ranking and kind of like your thoughts on these movies?
Yeah. It's hard. I'm just right out front. Jurassic Park number three. Fantastic Four 2 and number one, Superman. It's hard. It was hard going the next weekend to see Fantastic Four and not comparing it to what I saw with Superman. I acknowledge that. I loved that both Superman and Fantastic Four were not embarrassed to be comic book movies and use its source material. I understand some of the fan critique around Superman about being overstuffed, and I thought they could have done more with Superman and his supporting cast than just a big, huge super team movie. But I'm so excited that they just plopped us right into these universes and just let us go. They didn't have to do the big origin story. Same with Fantastic Four. They did recap. They didn't have to do big origin story. You just plopped us in the universe and assumed, hey, you have 20 years experience with these comic book movies. You know how this worked. Let's just get going and get right to the plot. So that's what I love. Jurassic Park, or Jurassic World Rebirth, I think it was fun. I went there to see dinosaurs, and I did. I really was hoping to be more kind of meat on the dinosaur bone around like this plot and the world and what they did. It was fun. It was a fun summer movie. I saw that first. It's ranked third. I saw Superman second. It's first. I saw Fantastic Four third, and now it's second. So that's where I am. We can talk more about kind of what we thought they could have done better later on, or what we loved about it. But that's how I rank mine, and really it's a good time to be a geek. You know, it's not a competition. We're ranking these things. I don't want to compete, but to think about the source material that we all love as fans of this medium, and kind of the time to be, we're all geeks here and we all love the source material. We're gonna rank them, but good time to be a geek.
Totally agree. And that's the thing, like the ranking we're doing just for fun here, but I want to emphasize, if you are a major Jurassic Park fan, this was your favorite, absolutely go own that, love it. And like, I think to get three big blockbusters like this back to back from different franchises, what more can you ask for as geeks and as movie fans? So love whatever you want, but these are just our personal rankings. And also, if someone can keep track, so we've got, yeah, Christian, are you able to just keep track of the, because we'll do like a tally at the end here. So right now, well, it looks like, well, ours are the, I'm gonna say it's the same so far. So yeah, sounds good. Andy, what about you? Because I'm curious, because you have not, I don't think we've had you talk about Superman yet. Right. So I'm really curious on you. So take it away for your rankings and thoughts on these movies.
Sure. So to cut to the chase, it's Fantastic Four 1, Jurassic World 2, Superman 3. Fantastic Four, goes number one, I think mainly on the strength of a really rousing score, a theme that has been stuck in my head the week before I was listening to it and all through the movie. I enjoyed the subtle little characterizations between the characters, and I was really appreciative of the way that science on a social scale was a big part of the solution in the film, not just a genius doing a thing, but everybody working together around the world to collaborate on a shared goal and a shared effort. So that's what put that number one. Jurassic World number two. I just had a lot of fun with it. The more I think about it, the less sense it makes. It's kind of a and the it has an opening like 5 minute prologue that has absolutely nothing to do with the story or the rest of the movie. But Snickers. Watching the movie, I had a good time. There were some really cool dinosaur sequences, and that was about all I wanted out of it, and that was what I got. And then Superman really just broke my heart. I wanted it to be the movie that I think everybody else saw, but for me it just wasn't. It said a lot of good things, but I don't want to hear Superman talking about torturing people. I don't want to watch Superman bludgeon people with other people. And I don't want to see Superman kill his enemies as the solution to the final challenge, right? We had a decade of debate over that, and I just didn't want to see that again. And I left the theater before the credits were done because I could not listen to that John Williams theme play in conjunction with that movie anymore. And it just, broke my heart, because it kept saying, and it would pull me back in. It would say things that I thought were good things to say, like, hope is the real punk rock, but then what it was actually doing, I couldn't go with it. So that was my own personal reaction. I know everybody has different reactions to different things, and that's fine. I'm not saying it was a bad movie. In a lot of ways, it was a very well done movie, and that's part of what made it so frustrating for me. But that's briefly why why it comes in last for me.
Andy, for clarification, are you saying when Superman was kind of going all out against the people in the like suits, like the Iron Man armor there at the end of like killing people?
You know, all throughout. So when he's fighting the engineer, he uses it and Ultraman uses the engineer to bludgeon Ultraman or Ultraman to bludgeon the engineer. I forget which was which. And later on in the fight, he's swinging Ultraman around and using, you know, and just kind of bludgeoning him. Not unlike the Hulk swing Loki around, which, you know, I get that that was a big moment in the Avengers, but I have different standards for Superman than the Hulk. I'm sorry. And then, yeah, the fight against the Raptors, right? I don't want to see Superman punch somebody's teeth out in slow motion, especially, especially a normal, you know, human with no powers or anything like that. That's just not something I want to see. And that's always been an issue I've had with James Gunn with the Guardians of the Galaxy movies too. The gleefulness with which the characters engage in lethal violence has never sat well for me. And when it was in the context of a Superman film, I couldn't go there.
Gotcha. All right.
It's a fair criticism, I think, you know, because like, mm-hmm. I think it's something like the Suicide Squad. It's like, yeah, you expect that from those characters, but it's something honestly, because the first time I saw it, I was almost thinking those like armored people at the end were robots, so I wasn't even thinking, and I forgot for a minute that they were humans, but it's a valid point. So, yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy. Evan, what about you? Your ranking and overall thoughts.
Rankings, I'll go with Superman 1, 2, Fantastic Four, and 3, Jurassic World, because I liked them all, just I had to put them somewhere. So the Superman it just gave me that, like, I was just so pumped. I just felt so good watching that movie. Me and my son were singing to the soundtrack after, and we were just, it just felt good, man. It just felt good. And when I went to go see it again, I could see kind of like the flaws that Danny's talking about. But I was like, stop it. You like this movie. You like it. Do not ruin it for yourself. but that doesn't mean I still find that the same kind of criticisms in it, which I do. But it just landed so good with me, the post-cynicism and the acceptance of more good, even though it's kind of cheesy, and the idea of, like, when your God dies, what do? You got to find it inside of you. And that was a big one for me. And for Fantastic Four, I got old school MCU vibes from it. Like, it just felt good. I was like, all right, we are getting back. It's not, they're not like a throw in to a bunch of characters. I was kind of expecting them to show up and kind of save the day, but I'm glad they didn't. It was just, they chose these characters and they focus on this family, and the stakes were big, but not too big, because it didn't, at least we don't know yet. And the interactions between the family and the archetypes that each one of them represented, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't change it up completely, because that probably would have pissed people off, like if a Johnny Storm was like the genius or something like that. But I like how they didn't try to sexualize Sue. Johnny wasn't like just walking around with a bunch of girls, and the thing wasn't like all whiny about his thing. Like, they all kind of had that, but that wasn't their main personality, and they set that aside to help each other in the end. And that mothers always know best. Like, they aren't always going to pull through for their kids. And the Jurassic World, I just love that it wasn't so much of what Jurassic Park was. I think it was refreshing. We are so far removed from it already that I think it's okay to have a film where just cool shit happens.
Nice.
So, and my son loved it because he was scared, he said.
Yeah. The power of the thrill. The power of the thrill.
Exactly. I love it. Wait, Evan, did you get to see all three with your kids?
I saw them, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Very cool. I didn't see the last two. We only saw a Jurassic Park together. And then the rest was just me and my son. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
How do you think your son would rank them? Yeah. How do you think your son would rank the three?
Superman, probably. And that's a good question. I could call him over.
I'm curious.
I'm just curious. I know that because it's rare now to have like three blockbusters in a row that you can take your kids to. That's a big deal now.
That's huge. Like
that. So that alone, this deserves praise. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, Christian, what about you? Your ranking and overall thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the curve here that Andy broke. And love you, Andy. It's Superman 1 for me. I understand where you're coming from a little bit, but I guess it didn't bother me because of the proportionate response to who he was fighting. If he was doing that against, like, I don't know, the Joker and Toy Man, I'd feel a little more closer to you. But he's doing it to the engineer and what is essentially a clone of himself. What is a clone of himself? So they can take the beating, go for it. Now, you have a better point with the people in armor. I'm not big on the tooth scene. But I think at that point in time, it's I have to take you idiots out as soon as possible because I have a city to save. So if this is the fastest way to do it, I'll do it. You can argue whether or not that was the right call. But overall, like, this is a Superman I want. He is saving people. He's inspiring people. We have excellent superheroes coming into the film to set up a universe that I was expecting to be, you know, just thrown in there for the sake of maybe setting up spinoff films or something. But they had their own arcs and everything. Hawkgirl was the weakest, but she was still fine in the film. Love what they did with the Daily Planet crew, giving them an opportunity to be relevant in the movie instead of just, well, it's Superman, so we have to have them there. I'm trying to think of something I hadn't said before in previous episodes, but I mean, really, in the time I've had since then, it's pretty much stayed the same. So second, once again, to stay with everyone else, Fantastic Four. Reed and Sue are perfect in my eyes and how they're portrayed. I love Reed's awkwardness. I love, you know, Sue's taking charge as need be. And of course, I mean, if there's anyone who I could believe out of the four who would stop Galactus for a little bit in his tracks, it's her. I mean, I'm fairly certain at one point in time she actually killed a Celestial. So if she can do that, I can see her taking down Galactus for a little bit. The thing was okay. He was fine. Once again, it's not having the Watcher, not having Alicia Masters kind of ruined aspects of this film. It, just having that random girl. And I'm glad they embraced, you know, the Jewish side of his character and brought that up. It was just kind of handled poorly overall. It's like, you can have it. I want that there. I just wish they did it better. And Johnny, I despise what they did with Johnny. It's making him a genius as far as linguistics. That's not him. Yeah, if it was like engineering or something like that, yeah, he modifies hot rods all the time. I could see that. If that was more relevant, sure. But Galactus, excellent. Silver Surfer was eh. I think I like her a little more than I do Johnny in this film. But it's not great. Once again, I was waiting for the reason why it had to be Shia Ball instead of Norrin Radd, and the answer was there wasn't one. They just wanted to do it. But overall, great film, lots of good fun, great fight scenes, great exploration of space, of using science to, you know, better the world, of, you know, working together. Yeah, the scene where she convinces people is weak, but, you know, it got to the end point of people actually getting the job done. Then Jurassic Park, It is what it is. It's a 5 out of 10 for me. There were dinosaurs in the film and they were scary. That's all you needed to me to actually enjoy a Jurassic Park film. I'm not expecting Citizen Kane. I'm not expecting, you know, the greatest film in the world. They gave me what I wanted. I'm not seeing it again, but they gave me what I wanted. So I think with our rankings there, I don't know. I don't do mathematics. I need TJ for that. So it was basically Superman, Fantastic Four, and Jurassic Park, except for Andy. So however the heck that breaks the curve, whoever failed the class, blame him.
That's right.
I'm not good at math either, so I cannot.
Andy might be. I did put this out there on the polls on the social medias, and the we had a few chime in, and most of them were like Superman. You know, it was kind of their favorite that kind of lean into. Hearing Andy's kind of critique, I can definitely see where James Gunn style can rub some people the wrong way when those things. For me, I do like his directing style and the soundtrack and the brightness of it and the kind of quippiness of it. I was captured by. I do think we're all winners because all these movies capture kind of the heart of what these characters are. At least for me, that's what it is. Andy, the different thoughts in terms of how Superman was portrayed, but I do think a kind of the core of who they are was portrayed. And what I really loved is that finally we get some comic book movies, some movies that aren't embarrassed of its source material, that they're not embarrassed. It's a comic book movie. They don't have to ground it. They're not thinking, oh, what are the non-geeks going to think about this? They're like, you know, let's just do it. They, all of them watch like a comic book reads. And I love it that people are now coming to me and asking like, hey, what's a good Fantastic Four run that I could read? What's a good Superman run that I can read? I want to hop into some of the source material and see. And that brings me joy that they can do that stuff. And so they've opened up the universe. For me, the Fantastic Four, I feel like there's some moments that were kind of half-baked that I wish they would have leaned in a little bit harder, a little bit further, be a little bit more bold, to play safe in certain places. And I guess in my head, what threw me, that's why I want to go back and see it again, is that I was really expecting 8-8, that world to be destroyed and them brought over to the proper MCU. And when that didn't happen, I was like, wait, what's going on? I really thought that maybe Sue was going to die. Maybe Galactus would have won, and that's why they come over here. But and I really want to see if they're going to set up Dr. Doom. It wasn't his movie. Let's see a little bit more, or maybe there's some tension there. The whole world worked together except for that one country. Why weren't they there? What's going on? I would have seen like an extra 20-30 minutes of maybe leaning in of some resistance there. Andy, I would love to hear, like, you really love Fantastic Four. How did you come out like hopeful, or was there some preconceived notions in terms of how they bring in the MCU or the next Doomsday? I guess I'm still caught up on what the next movie, how they lead into the next movie. Maybe should I just enjoy it on its own?
Yeah, I've been really trying to just watch these Marvel movies on their own terms. I feel like so much of the post Endgame discourse around these Marvel movies has been around the, you know, what was happening behind the scenes? Why did this movie get made the way this did? What choices were Kevin Feige making? Well, I don't want to ever think about Kevin Feige when I'm watching one of these movies. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's a lovely man. He's done lots of things that I appreciate, but I don't want to think about like, well, which parts did Kevin Feige do about it? And which parts did Bob Iger have an influence on, and this and that and the other thing? Like, what is this movie doing on its own terms? What is the story that it's telling? Does it execute that story well? And nice. I'll worry about, you know, what comes next when that comes. All right. So I had no expectations of how it would end, how it would tie into subsequent films, you know, and mostly, you know, that isn't how these Marvel movies have worked. They, you know, oftentimes you think, oh, you know, this is how it's going to lead into whatever, but it really doesn't. They really do kind of end on their own terms. And then the connective tissue, if there needs to be, comes at the beginning of the next movie. They explain how they got from wherever the last thing ended up to where they are now is generally the approach, rather than telling you where, you know, how we're going to get to the next thing. So yeah, I really wasn't expecting anything, you know, and I wasn't even expecting anything based on the Thunderbolts post credits tease or whatever. You know, it'll be what it'll be. It'll, you know, and we'll connect the dots after we've seen the dots. But I'm not going to try to guess where the dots are and get my heart set on particular connections before then, because then, you know, you're getting disappointed for something that nobody ever actually promised you. I feel like a lot of the Marvel fans, you know, a lot of the things that I hear people complaining about, it's like, nobody promised you that. So why are you upset that you didn't get that? Or why did you think that you were that was going to happen this way? Like, you know, let's just watch the movies that we get and the TV shows that we get. And if you like it, like it. If you don't, you don't, and that's fine, but don't dislike it because you think that maybe Kevin Feige made a choice that you didn't agree with, or you think that there was this behind the scene thing that you have no way of knowing whether it happened or not.
Nice.
You know, and go with them in those terms.
Yeah, now my mind is switched. Like, I've gone like, okay, that spaceship that was coming in the Thunderbolts, maybe the Fantastic Four weren't on that. Maybe that's Dr. Doom and Franklin, because he stole the kid and he's coming over to us. So I was like, oh, maybe it's not the Fantastic Four. Maybe we have a child abduction with Dr. Doom and this kid. So I don't know. And again, it's that preconceived expectation or right in the movie in my head that always gets me in trouble. So I think that's a fair thing.
Film where a Robert Downey Jr. drives drunk with a kid or something?
I think so. Oh, no. Here we go again. Dr. Doom. I wonder if Dr. Doom can figure out a car seat. I wonder what that's about. Yeah, other thoughts out there. I think, you know, again, we're all winners when it comes to these movies and out there, and they have we have 20 plus years of expectations of a Rolson. They're still making some money and they're still going to make them. And we kind of go in. I do like it. My kid on the way to Fantastic Four, I guess the Superman, they knew a little bit about it and they had some questions about, you know, is that really Green Lantern? What's going to happen? That kind of stuff. Fantastic Four, they're like, all right, we're coming to this movie. What do I need to know? And I was like, just know that, like, this is the family and the comic book that launched the Marvel Universe with Stan Lee and Jack Kirby in the 1960s. And then let's see what happens. And then I think the movie presented itself that it was kind of a no homework movie. You didn't have to go in. They explained, they didn't do the origin, but they did do some backs, you know, it's like reading the front page of a comic book synopsis to help you get into, you know, this is what happened before, hop right in and to the story and the universes. And, So I liked how they did that in this kind of retro futuristic world episode of the Jetsons. You know, here's I could have watched that movie the whole time. For Superman, I don't know if I need to see another Jurassic World movie if they rebirthed it and have another one. I don't know if I'm going to be like, oh, I can't wait to go see it. It did what it did, and I was curious to see how Scarlett Johansson was going to do with this. But with the DCU, I really am excited about what James Gunn is doing with this universe and how this is going to play out. I'm a huge fan of Crypto and how that I was smitten with that dog, and I'm going to get more of it. The Supergirl movie may be a little bit more crass and super kind of Suicide Squad ish. I don't know if Annie's going to like that movie as much with Supergirl, but I get more Crypto, and I love the graphic novel and the source material that Tom King and Evely Belquist did with Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. And so to see that portrayed on the screen, I'm pretty excited about what's next. So I don't know how you guys think. I have a question though. If anybody has other thoughts, I have two questions. But if, I don't want to leave anything hanging out there. If you guys want to summarize what you kind of loved or what they thought could have done better.
I've got a right for your questions. I feel like I, on both Superman and Fantastic Four, I've already shared extensively. I'll just go back to Superman 2. Like, the two scenes that broke me were the Don and, the Pa Kent and Clark scene was just like, that felt like Superman for All Seasons brought to life. And it was such a, like, it hit me particularly at a certain time too, because, like, just with a little personal, but like I had a close coworker passed away like a few weeks before this came out, and so like that scene like hit me terribly. And then same with the monologue from Superman to Lex Luthor at the end. I just thought that was so eloquently handled, and the, you know, like, that's where you're wrong about me, Lex. It was, and it didn't feel cheesy or forced or anything. It was just his direct, you know, counteract to Lex is saying, you'll never understand us because you're not human. And he said, no, that's what you're wrong about me, because I'm every bit as human as you are. And, you know, that's my greatest strength. So I just, those were like the icing on the cake for me. But yeah. And again, but that's where I kind of shared my main thoughts on there. So well, I'm curious what your questions are, though.
Okay. So with and Andy too, Andy, Evan, Andy, Evan and I are dads. We were probably in the hospital room when the childbirth happened. When they made the choice to have this baby in space and everybody was there in the ship to watch it, was it too clean? What do you think was going to happen? I think it's a lot messier than that. I was really scared what they're going to show or not show at the moment. I was very uneasy.
Bro, Andy, I had my 7-year-old with me. I was just like, oh my God, like what is happening, guys? I'm like, whoa.
That was a choice. And yeah. I know, I realize we have 5 guys on this and no women when it comes to like talking about childbirth and the movies, but I'm aware of that. But in terms of that choice, I think it added a sense of suspense. And then I was like, whoa. What are they getting ready to do? I can't believe they're doing this here. But yeah, Andy, thoughts, childbirth in space.
I mean, yes, if we're going to be realistic about these things, right, there are a lot of things that happen during childbirth that if you don't have gravity, now that's going to be floating around the room. And, yes.
Including the baby.
Nobody wants that, I don't think, right? That has all kinds of hygiene and engineering problems.
If it was made by Christopher Nolan, then we probably would have saw that.
Oh, yes, right?
As I think more about that movie, there's a lot of things I love. A lot of things I was like, I wish I would leaned harder into that, been a little bit more. It was my critique of Brave and the, Brave New World. I wish it was a little bit braver, a little bit newer. And some of this, I was hoping for some of that too. But that scene was like, wow, we're doing this.
I loved how the thing just came in there. Like, he didn't miss a beat. He didn't even put it in park. He just boop and cut the umbilical cord. Yeah, he just like boom right there. I'm like, right on, man, right on.
And as a surfer, as a surfer watching her surf on the lava, she grabbed the rail way too many times.
Is it a part of like her or separate?
I know. I feel like she had some sweet turns and she was riding. That she was going cool. with the flow. But
dodging those lasers.
Yeah, she grabbed the rail. She grabbed the rail way too many times. I think you could do it with just your balance.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
I guess my other question is, with both of these, Fantastic Four and Superman, what is it about these IPs, these properties, these heroes that endures? We keep rebooting. This is the fourth time Fantastic Four. This is what number of Superman movie is this? The comics are gone. Superman's been around since 1930s. I've read that book. I can understand why it resonates, but Fantastic Four as well. What is it about these two IPs that really resonates with us that you think that we keep trying again to tell this story, even if it's a different angle, a different way, but we love these and they're going to keep telling them? What is it that resonates with these heroes that we keep telling the story?
They're the first. I mean, Superman is the first. I mean, as far as DC is concerned, superhero, and yeah, action. Marvel had their own superheroes during the '40s, but as far as like this, the new age of Marvel in the '60s, they were the first. They're the ones they've tried for years to try and replicate that. And, your mileage may vary on how some of those turned out. but did you get to see? Because they're really, I mean, if they were doing things correctly, they would have started with them. So it's nice to actually see them and see how what the world would look like if they were actually the first, you know, superheroes on their planet, which is why I'm glad they went with the alternate universe thing.
Yeah.
And you know, see people inspired by them and the villains inspired by, not inspired by them, that rise up that they have to oppose. Those teases that they gave with the cartoon intro, like, were killing me. It's like, I want to see Diablo in live action. I want to see Dragon Man in live action. because Stan Lee, Jack Kirby run is fantastic. I mean, there's no other word to use. That's like 103-ish issues. And yeah, not everyone's the winner, but for the most part, they're pretty great. And they introduce concepts in the Marvel Universe that are used to this day. So I want to see that. Especially in a universe where, you know, we're having all these Marvel characters interact, I want to have the first family there. Then on the Superman side of things, like, we're not here without him. I mean, yeah, you know, Batman does come a little after that. And yeah, there were superhero figures. We had the Phantom. We have the Shadow. We have even a Scarlet Pimpernel, if you want to go that far back, and Zorro. But like, as far as comics, like, he's the one that got us to where we are today. And I want to see him done well. I want to see him broadcast. This is compared to what we had before in the DCEU. I want to see a new take that actually inspires me to continue watching these films. And that most definitely did.
Nice.
I would say echoing a lot of that. I mean, even like my dad is a sports buff. He's never like in a comic book setting, but he grew up watching the George Reeve show and all that. Like, I mean, and then I grew up on Superman the Animated Series and comics and other movies. Like, Superman is timeless. He is the first. He has this rich history. And I think in both, in the case of Superman and Fantastic Four, as fantastical as they are, and as like they have these otherworldly origins, the, what makes them enduring is their relatability. So with Superman, he is still, he comes from a farm in Smallville, Kansas, and he's raised by people who want him to do good in the world, and he's wrestling with these feelings of being an outsider. And even if you don't come from another planet and you're not, you know, you weren't sent here from as the last of an alien species, I don't think any of us in the room have that origin, to my knowledge. I don't know, maybe Andy will surprise us, I don't know, but I don't, or oh, Will's standing up right now, but regardless, I think most people have felt at some point like an outsider, or like, you know, they still go through this kind of identity thing, and that's really what makes Superman relatable, more so than his powers, his humanity, that, and same with Fantastic Four, so much of, you know, especially those early comics, you know, they're struggling to pay rent in the Baxter Building, and they're, even as celebrity superheroes, it's like, they have these grounded, everyday problems that, that, you know, other people can relate to. So, it's that gate, like, lens between the otherworldly and then the human basis that helps us connect to these characters.
Nice.
So, I think that's why, you know, they're some of the most timeless and relatable.
Nice. Evan or Andy?
I'm going to start, but I want to pitch it to, I got a question for, well, Andy could probably touch on this, but isn't there a sense in psychology where you have your individual self and your social self, right? Isn't that a thing?
Hmm. I've been told that. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but that,
okay,
you know,
but that's
that
kind of like,
sounds familiar in, to some degree. Yeah, sure.
Because I think that's why these two are so ingrained, because they cover our two sides of ourselves that we'd have to deal with every single second of every single day. We have our internal monologue in ourself, which is our individualness, and that's with the Superman and how he can just do good. And then with a Fantastic Four, sure, you have that, but how do you work in a social setting? How do you work in a family dynamic? You can't just impose yourself on other people. And I know that Superman, he fluctuates with that, and he will wrestle with that. But I think those are core parts of being human, that these characters are, that they are blank slates for us to put into.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I keep being the contrarian, but I'm not entirely convinced that the Fantastic Four are enduring characters in the same way that Superman is. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, they keep coming back to them, right? Every 10 years, like clockwork, there's going to be a new Fantastic Four movie. But I'm not entirely convinced that that's because there is this timeless quality to, or this ongoing engagement with the Fantastic Four as a story and as a concept. Right? I think there's a lot of reverence for the magic that came together when Lee and Kirby worked on that initial run. Absolutely, right? It is a classic run. It is a seminal run. It does stand as one of the great achievements in American superhero comic books. No question about that. Not throwing any shade at that. But I don't think it has had quite the same, generation after generation impact or reimagining right. that the way that Superman has, right? Superman keeps coming back. Superman, has become one of the iconic fictional characters in the Western canon, and I just don't see that's true of the Fantastic Four. I'm not sure that my parents know who the Fantastic Four is, or could, you know, pick them out of a lineup. I'm not sure that they know anything about their stories. But if, you know, they know who Superman is, they could, you know, they could tell you the whole Superman Krypton, you know, raised in Kansas kind of thing, without having read a single Superman comic book, without ever watching more than the first one or two movies, maybe with Christopher Reeve. Same with Batman or Spider-Man, right? If you stop somebody on the street, they can give you the rundown of those characters. And I'm just not sure that the Fantastic Four have that same cultural footprint. I think the reason why we keep coming back to them is reverence for what Lee and Kirby did in the 60s.
Nice.
And and you see that, I mean, that is all over this movie. Why is it Earth 828? Because that's a tribute to Jack Kirby's birthday.
That was cool.
Why is it set? Why does it feel like it's in the 60s, right? They don't actually really say when it's set, but it's very clear that it is a 60s, early 70s inspired aesthetic. Why is that? Well, that's the time frame of those early Lee and Kirby Fantastic Four comics. Why is it not Alicia Masters? Why is it a woman named Roz? Because that was Jack Kirby's wife's name.
Right.
And Ben Grimm is to the best approximation, Jack Kirby on the page. Not one-to-one, not always, not as a criticism, but just sort of if there's a character that most reflects Jack Kirby on the page, it's Ben Grimm. That it's that reverence for that and that wanting to honor that I think people keep coming back to, rather than having, a take on, what do the Fantastic Four represent for the current moment in the way that, we keep coming back to what does Superman represent for the current moment? What does Batman look like in the current moment? What does Spider-Man look like in the current moment? The Fantastic Four are kind of frozen in that early 1960s moment. And most of the Fantastic Four comics kind of go back to, let's play those hits again of, Dr. Doom, Dragon Man, the Frightful Four, those kinds of things. Like you see a lot of those same concepts come back again and again in those Fantastic Four comics. So that's why I think the Fantastic Four comics that resonate the most with me are the ones that, instead of trying to play those hits again and again, try to push the envelope forward again, try to do something new and different in the way that Lee and Kirby were trying to do something new. And that's why one of the things I appreciate about the Ryan North books is the way that he's trying to bring in new concepts. He's got all these new sci-fi elements. He's trying to bring in modern sci-fi into the Fantastic Four, which I think is absolutely what it should be. And if I have one criticism of the movie, one thing that I was disappointed about the movie was that, I would have liked to have seen a Ryan North-esque, what is the, cutting edge science fiction look like in this Fantastic Four movie and not, a 1960s style Galactus story, right? Because we've got that before and so forth. But, I understand why they did that. And I didn't not enjoy it because of that. But that is one element that I think that I'd like to see, if they continue to do Fantastic Four, that's something that I think they should really try to do is how do we push them forward? How do we make them relevant today? How do we bring them into the modern world in the way that we've done with these other characters instead of just keeping them preserved in amber, as they were when Lee and Kirby wrote them? Because I'm not sure that's all that. That's not necessarily how Lee and Kirby want to be honored by that, right? It's just kind of revisiting the same things over and over.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Like you show a Superman symbol with a five-sided diamond with the S in it, people are going to know exactly what that symbol means.
Like, emblem up there in the corner?
Yeah, like right there. If you put a four in like a circle, they're going to be like, they might know, they might not, or it'd be like, yeah, I know. Or if we did the SG symbol with just a circle around it, be like, oh, you're copying the Fantastic Four. It's a Systematic Ecology symbol. Or you're like, no, but I think, the Fantastic Four, they bring the scientific method to a gunfight, and so they think their way out of things. They have superpowers. They lean into what it means to be a family. But that sci-fi element is big a part of it. I think why I think they endure is because I think there's this kind of universal human condition and consciousness of us really thinking about what does it mean to be human and what does it mean to be human together. And so these superheroes hold up a mirror for us to really think through if we had those powers, if we have that privilege, what would we do with it? Hopefully we wouldn't act like Lex Luthor. We would act like Superman. Hopefully we wouldn't want to devour a planet because we're hungry and just, there's kind of, we'll work as a family and as a team to do this together. And I think as geekologists and as a team around Systematic Ecology, we reflect on those things deeply and we're entertained. It's fun. We like to see the visuals, like you see special effects. But I think we know these movies can put up great special effects and it can look great on screen. We can do all those things. We have the movie magic to do that. But the deeper questions of what does it mean to be human and how are we humans together? is a big question that we have to keep asking, especially now more than ever. So it is interesting that these movies come out now in our present situation, in our world, in our politics, and what's being funded or defunded or undermined, and how we other the other person or not, and what that, how we see the other person as inherently good or someone that should be dignified. I think all that matters. And so I think these movies definitely strike a nerve when it comes to that, and why I'm hopeful for what they can be. And we'll never be shortage of a content with Systematic Ecology of what we're going to geek out on. But for me, they endure because they just like the myths of old or the pantheon of myths or superheroes. There's a way of us playing in the sandbox of who am I? What's my identity? Who's my family? Who's my friends? And how am I using the gifts that I have? And we all struggle with that from time to time. I love it that the Fantastic Four wrestle with what does it mean to be family? And as a world, what does it mean to be family? And then even Superman, even though it's a little problematic for me in terms of Jor-El and how they perceive Jor-El, from the very beginning, him thinking of like, who is his family? And then the last shot of him showing videos, home movies of his family and Pa Kent and Martha brought tears to my eyes of like, yeah, this is his family. And this is what's going to ground him moving forward and what it means to be Superman. So I thought that was pretty amazing. And these here, and yeah, sometimes they get a little stale. Sometimes they share the same stories over and over again. They do that in the comics. They reboot or have a different take. But I think the movies do the same. So I think we're all winners. When it comes to these movies this summer and moving forward with it.
Absolutely. And hey, Andy, if they want to, you know, do a gritty reimagining of Fantastic Four, they could call it Fan-4-Stick. And, you know, I'm sure that would go well.
Good.
If they want to do something different. Sorry, I had to throw a shade at that one.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, guys, this has been fantastic. I want to thank everyone for tuning in today, wherever you're listening from. And, you know, thank you for supporting us. Are we doing recommendations real quick, or do we want to just wrap up?
I think you heard our rankings. I think you heard them. I recommend seeing all three and do your own rankings. But, you know, see that I think we all need to take Andy's recommendation of going and let the movie speak for itself and stop putting your expectations on top of it. Will. I know. I hear you. Thanks, Andy. I get it.
It is. No, we could do an entire episode on that, on the pros and cons of modern cinematic universes. Are they tampering with how we actually feel?
Yeah.
Independent. So I like it a lot. Awesome. Well, everyone out there, again, like, subscribe, share, and remember, kindness is punk rock, and be fantastic to each other.
Hey friends, your pal Will Rose here. Sometimes I ask myself, self, have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Yes. Yes, I have. And well, if you're like me, you want Systematic Ecology to continue to grow and thrive. And you can do that by joining Patreon for as little as $3 a month. As a patron, you get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions that our patrons get to hear. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that the patrons pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch. And when I say that we are a worldwide podcast, that I'm not being hyperbolic. Somebody told me that we have over 20,000 subscribers from all over the world, and just half of those subscribers join Patreon for $3 a month. We would be set on keeping moving forward with the tech that we need to have the quality of podcast that we want our hearers to experience. And it'll help us get to certain events and conventions so that we can see you face to face and geek out with you in person. And let me just share that there's no shame, no guilt. If you can't join Patreon at this point, that's okay. That's okay. Just keep listening, keep sharing, keep liking, because yes, we're proud of what we're doing at Systematic Ecology. And friends, guess what? You can subscribe to Patreon for free to receive one extra bonus episode a month via the Patreon or Spotify app. That is fantastic. And we're glad that you're a part of it.
Hello, Systematic Ecology listeners. This is Kevin here. Just want to give a brief ad for some of the other podcasts in our Anna Zal podcast network.
First of all, off is Let Nothing Move You by Christian Ashley, in which Christian goes through the Bible one chapter at a time and gives his thoughts there. There is also The Bible After Hours, which is a more progressive take on the Bible that tries to challenge the status quo with satire and looks at theology. The host uses the pseudonym, The Foulmouth Preacher. And as a bonus, Joshua Knoll does the voices for this one. So definitely check that one out. And also, And We'll Laugh About That Later is the newest podcast that our own Will Rose is starting, where he will interview friends about a story they had that wasn't funny at the time, but that they laugh about now. So definitely check out these shows and subscribe to us wherever you get your pods. Thank you very much.